This episode of the UAV Digest is sponsored by Go Engineer, provider of design, engineering, and 3D printing solutions for the aerospace and unmanned vehicles industries. To learn more, visit theuavdigest.com/goengineer. And by UAV Propulsion Tech, a provider of propulsion, servo, autopilots, and rescue and recovery parachute solutions for the unmanned aerial vehicle market. For more information, check out www.uavpropulsiontech.com. You're listening to episode 94 of the UAV Digest. I'm Max Flight in Hartford, Connecticut. David Vanderhoof is off this episode, so once again, I'm flying solo. I should mention that if you're brand new to this show, you may not realize that the UAV Digest is the work of two guys, myself and David Vanderhoof. Now, David is still recuperating from a major surgery. He should return to this show soon, which is good because together we're better than each of us individually. So here's what we have for this episode. First, the Amazon patent for package delivery by drone. We're actually going to talk about that quite a bit. But also we have some news items using drones to plant trees, a new Israeli UAV company, another manned aircraft maker goes unmanned, and the Arctic becomes a no-drone zone, at least for some people. We also have a video of the week and a little bit of listener feedback. So with that, let's get started. The Amazon patent. Well, Amazon Technologies Incorporated of Seattle, Washington, was awarded a patent on April 30th, 2015. This patent, quote, describes an unmanned aerial vehicle, or UAV, configured to autonomously deliver items of inventory to various destinations. The UAV may receive inventory information in a destination location and autonomously retrieve the inventory from a location within a materials handling facility, compute a route from the materials handling facility to a destination, and travel to the destination to deliver the inventory. Now, this patent doesn't mean that Amazon will do any or all of the things described in the patent, but it might provide some insight into what Amazon has in mind. So let's take a look at this. Now, we'll start off with the claims. There are 20 claims in this patent. If you're unfamiliar with patents, the claims really define the scope of the patent. You can only exclude others from making or using or selling only those things that are described in the claims. So the claims are kind of the heart of the patent. As I said, there are 20 of them here. Some of them are kind of redundant from a layman's perspective, but it's worthwhile to go through some of the highlights of them. So we'll start off with the first claim, which is a system for aerial delivery of items to a destination location that includes two things, really. A UAV management system that receives a request to deliver an item and provides a UAV with source and destination locations. And second, UAVs that go to the source location, engage the item, that's the term they use, it means pick up the item, navigate to the destination location, and disengage the item. Now, another claim is that the delivery UAVs can receive environmental information from another UAV and use that to help develop the navigation route. And we'll talk about that in a little bit more detail as we get deeper into this patent. Also a claim, the system can determine a delivery time estimate. Also, the system can receive an item order from an e-commerce website and determine the destination location. The destination location can be updated based on the current location of a user. So that's very interesting, and we'll talk more about that as well. Also, we see a computer-implemented method for, quote, receiving a request to deliver an item to a destination location, selecting an unmanned aerial vehicle, sending delivery parameters to the selected unmanned aerial vehicle, and autonomously delivering the item from a source location to the destination location with the selected unmanned aerial vehicle. Okay. In this method, the UAV can identify the weight, size, and shape of an item in the source and destination locations. Also, we see the method includes the UAV having the ability to develop a route between the source location and the destination location for the autonomous delivery of the item. The power requirement for autonomously delivering the item can be estimated based on a number of different items. It could be based on the UAV that's going to do the delivery, the source and destination locations, the weight and size of the item, the weather, and interestingly, the monetary value of the item. So I'm not exactly sure how the power requirement could be a function of the monetary value of the item, but maybe I'm not reading that claim correctly. We go on. The power module of the UAV can be autonomously replaced or recharged at a relay station. And we'll have some more to say about the different power options coming up. Also, another claim, the destination location is determined at least in part on GPS data of a portable device associated with a user. That sounds like a smartphone to me. Now, the patent contemplates the situation where the purchaser places an order from a location and then, say, goes to a neighbor's house, and the UAV can deliver the item to the purchaser there if they want. Also, this is a quote, the destination location is a secure delivery location configured to receive and store at least one item delivered by an unmanned aerial vehicle. Also, a delivery notification can come from the UAV that confirms delivery and sends a notification to the destination location. There's some claims concerning the communication between the UAVs and the UAV management system, and it says that these are wireless communications. Also, wireless communication between the UAVs, interestingly enough. Also, the UAVs determine the navigation path between the source and destination locations, and this is kind of key. Periodically, they can update the navigation path during aerial navigation. Now, when we look at the detailed description in the patent application, we learn some more. Some of these I'll talk about that are somewhat paraphrased. But again, the patent application describes a UAV configured to autonomously deliver items of inventory to various delivery locations. The UAV may receive delivery parameters and autonomously or semi-autonomously retrieve the item or items and compute a route from the source location to a delivery location and then aerially transport the items. Now, as we've seen above, the UAV can communicate with other UAVs in the area and obtain information that it can use in route planning. That information, it might be stored in a central location and or dynamically shared between nearby UAVs, also between materials handling facilities, relay locations, the UAV management system, and or secure delivery locations. Now, the UAV can consider weather as well as other environmental factors while navigating a route. So, for example, if the route must cross over a road built for automobiles, the navigation of the route may be adjusted to minimize the intersection of the UAV's path and the road. The patent says, for example, the UAV may alter its navigation such that the path of the UAV will intersect the automobile road at an approximately perpendicular angle. Also, the UAV can constantly monitor for humans or other animals that may be in the path or planned path of the UAV and modify the navigation of the UAV to avoid those humans or other animals. So we're talking about quite a lot of sensory information coming from, well, I don't know if you call it a cloud or a constellation of UAVs and other data that may be stored centrally. Now, when the UAV reaches the delivery location, it identifies an area where it can safely approach the ground or other surface, according to the patent, and leave the item. Now, this can be done through assistance of a remote entity controller taking control of and or providing control instructions to the UAV to assist the UAV in landing at the delivery location. So the presumption here is that delivery does not necessarily have to be purely autonomous. Now, what that remote entity is that can take control or provide additional control instructions, what that involves is not stated. I don't believe in the patent. So that maybe is software, or maybe that's a human being. Also, if the UAV had previously landed at that delivery location, it might use stored information about the location. For example, the patent says things like a safe landing area, geographic coordinates of the landing area, things like that. And it can use those things to navigate the landing at the delivery location. Now, there's some other aspects contained in the patent. Location identification. The patent talks about this being possible through GPS, through Wi-Fi, through the cellular network. Also, locations other than the buyer's current location can be used. We mentioned that above. Also, locations other than the buyer's current location can be used. We talked about that a little bit. Also in the patent, UAVs are described in great detail, describing frames, number of motors, flight control systems, batteries, things like this. There's a lot of description in the patent defining what a UAV is. How that comes to play is a practical matter, I'm not sure. One thing I did notice, though, is that in that description, they do talk about prop guards being part of the UAV, which I think is probably a pretty good idea. Also, something interesting on power. The patent says the power modules for the UAV may be in the form of battery power. Okay, makes sense. Solar power, interesting. Gas power, and then we get supercapacitor, fuel cell, alternative power generation source, or a combination thereof. It's difficult to determine at this point whether or not Amazon has some specific ideas in mind for powering these UAVs, or if they're just trying to cover all their bases in this patent, which was something that's how they typically do patents. There's a lot of detail in the patent about the mechanisms for grasping, holding, releasing the packages. I won't go into that here. If you are interested in learning more about how that might work, you can take a look at the patent. Now, we'll put a link to the patent in the show notes, and it's, let's see, I think it's around 32 pages, something like that, and it's kind of dense reading, particularly if you haven't read patents before or are familiar with the patent process. Again, it's worth noting that this doesn't mean that this is what Amazon is going to do. It's very common for companies to go out there and file patents on almost anything they can think of, because a patent is an asset. It's a corporate asset. You can buy them, you can sell them, you can license them. As you've probably heard, there are many. Well, I won't say many. There are some companies that are just in the business of acquiring patents and then charging others the license fees for them. Those are sometimes called patent trolls. Now, I don't think Amazon is in that category with this. From every indication, Amazon is serious about package delivery, but looks like they're first to the patent office with a patent that covers this. How it impacts other companies that maybe want to also provide package delivery services by drone, that remains to be seen. I think in the future we will be hearing more about this Amazon patent and the implications of it. But for now, we'll leave it like that. Again, look for the links in the show notes, the UAVdigest.com /94 for episode 94. All right, moving on to a couple of news items. Mark sent us this one from electronicproducts.com. Drones to repopulate forests 1 billion trees at a time. This is a really fascinating application and one that's got pretty high social value, I think. This is about biocarbon engineering of Oxford, England. They're planning to use drones to assist in populating forests. The idea is that drones carry pressurized air canisters that, I guess, basically shoot the seeds into the soil. This is a much more effective way of planting seeds than spreading them from aircraft, and it's faster and cheaper than seeding by hand. The reason this is important, according to this article, it says that each year, lumber, mining, development, and agriculture deplete approximately 26 billion trees in the world, while at the same time, only about 15 billion trees are replanted. So there's a net loss of trees and a pretty significant one. So under this biocarbon engineering concept, what we see first is a scout drone will go out, survey the area, and create a 3D map. That map can then be used by the biocarbon engineering team to plan the seed drops in order to maximize the success rates. Then these drones with pressurized air canisters launch, and what they do is they shoot biodegradable seed pods that are pre-germinated into the ground. And the article mentions that at a rate of about 10 seeds per minute, two drone operators could theoretically plant around 36,000 seeds a day. And then that's not the end of it for the drones. After the seeds are starting to grow and they're established, the drones would continue to monitor the progress of the growth. Now, these drones are designed and built by Vulcan UAV. They're designed to carry heavy loads because the seeds and the delivery hardware and all that is not exactly lightweight. So Vulcan UAV is doing that. And then we have an article. This is from JewishBusinessNews.com, a new Israeli UAV company. Well, the former president of IAI, the Israeli Aerospace Industries, Yitzhak Nissan, has formed Meteor. That's a new company that wants to develop, they call a new breed of unmanned aerial vehicles. And this company is kind of playing it close to the vest. There is investment money, but the main investor has not been identified, and apparently they're operating from some kind of a guarded hangar at some undisclosed location. Now, the Israeli Ministry of Defense said that Meteor is planning to demonstrate an affordable UAS, whatever that means exactly, with a maximum takeoff weight of about 350 kilograms. So that's a Meteor, a new Israeli UAV company. A company that's been around for a while is Sonix, and we have an article from flyingmag.com, Sonix enters UAV market. Now, Sonix builds kit planes, and they are now collaborating with Navmar Applied Sciences Corp. to research, engineer, and produce UAVs for the U.S. Defense Department. Their first project is based off of the existing Xenos motor glider. The Xenos can be flown as a powered aircraft or as a self-launched glider, and it can soar with the engine off, or you can use it as a motor glider, motor soaring aircraft. The new UAV based off that is named Taros, and it's basically intended for HAL missions, high altitude, long endurance missions. Power comes from an AeroV turbo 100 horsepower piston engine, and the first prototype is planned for a June 2015 delivery. So here we have an existing aircraft company, in this case a kit plane maker, looking towards the unmanned vehicle market. This is interesting in that general aviation, especially in the United States, has kind of come under some difficult times. We don't have as many pilots as we used to. Sales of general aviation aircraft are not the strongest right now. And so it's kind of natural to consider that they might look at taking the products they have, the existing products, modify them as required to turn them into unmanned aircraft and serve that market in that way. And then we have an item from the Arctic Journal. This is about banning the use of UAVs in the Arctic. Well, if you take an Arctic cruise with a member of the Association of Arctic Expedition Cruise Operators, the AECO, you won't be able to bring or use drones when visiting the Arctic. The primary concern here, I think, is disturbing other passengers and also wildlife. In 2015, they estimate that about 17,000 passengers will visit the Arctic on board vessels operated by the Association of Arctic Expedition Cruise Operators. I think most of the cruises are done by members of that organization. So interesting to see them taking that action. Kind of makes sense. Noise from drones is something that it doesn't seem to come up a lot, but the sort of noise pollution aspect of these things, I have a feeling is going to kind of grow in importance as more and more people come to learn just how noisy these things can be. All right, just a quick announcement. NASA and the Silicon Valley chapter of AUVSI, the Association of Unmanned Vehicle Systems International, they're partnering and co-sponsoring the 2015 Unmanned Aerial Systems Traffic Management Convention. This is going to be held July 28th through 30th at the NASA Ames Research Center. That's in Moffett Field, California. Speakers at this convention, they're going to include NASA and FAA executives, they say, as well as industry thought leaders, innovators, and stakeholders. They plan to have exhibits and flight demonstrations that feature the latest developments in unmanned aerial systems technology and how it will impact the future of low-altitude flight. So we'll put a link to that in the show notes. Take a look if you have the opportunity to attend that. All right, let's move on to a video of the week. This is also from NASA, actually. This is a 10-engine electric plane, and it's completed its successful test flight. This comes from NASA Langley researchers, and they designed and built it's a battery-powered 10-engine remotely piloted aircraft. This is called the Greased Lightning GL-10 prototype. It has a 10-foot wingspan, and it can take off vertically like a helicopter and then transition to forward flight like an airplane. If you know the V-22 Osprey, think that, but with 10 electric motors. So we have a video of that where the engineers successfully transition from vertical hover to a wingborne flight. These are tests that were conducted at Fort AP Hill in Virginia. One feedback item, this comes from Mark. He sent us a link to the drone phone Kickstarter project. Now, normally, we don't like to get too involved in promoting Kickstarter projects. For one reason, there are just so many of them, and so you can't cover them all. Another thing to consider is that some people treat these as kind of a way to purchase a product and neglect to consider that there's no guarantees. The idea is that you are funding something that doesn't exist. There is no guarantee that it will come to fruition. And so for that reason, we're just a little leery of promoting these things. But this one is kind of interesting. So the drone phone idea is that you, quote, allow your smartphone to become an autonomous aerial camera, an integrated flight planner, and a tethered controller. There are two versions of this planned. One is RTF, ready to fly. I guess you just insert your smartphone into the thing and you have a little quadcopter. The other one is kind of more interesting in that you 3D print the frame yourself. So I guess some other components, the motors and propellers, would be part of the purchase, but you print the frame on your 3D printer machine. So it's interesting. We'll have a link to that in the show notes as well. All right, well, that'll do it. You've been listening to episode 94 of the UAV Digest. You can find us at the UAVDigest.com, or if you'd like to go straight to the show notes, just go to the UAVDigest.com/94. You can find us on the usual social media outlets, Twitter at UAV Digest, on Facebook, UAV Digest. If you'd like to send us a feedback, the email address is feedback@theuavdigest.com. You can find us on iTunes, Stitcher.com. If you visit our website, you can find some swag to buy. Also, a way that you can support this effort financially through the Patreon service. And we just wanted to welcome new patron Jeff. Thank you so much for your support. We really, really appreciate it. These help us cover our costs and also offer the opportunity to expand the scope of the things that we can bring to you. So again, thanks to Jeff. All right. Well, with that, I'll say hopefully we'll have David back next time and we can kind of get back into the normal swing of things with the show. David is doing okay, and we really anticipate him coming back soon. So with that, I'll say this is Max in Hartford, and thanks for listening.